So we're doing a series on how to pray. Now, some of you will know my wife's away at the moment, so this is very, very good for me, how to pray, because, you know, 3 weeks now I've been without my wife and I'm praying a lot about cooking, you know, doing the washing, cleaning the house, making sure my son gets to school. We're doing pretty well. Thanks for your prayers. But it is really good. We're looking at this theme. And this book that the 8 weeks is based on, I've read quite a bit of it, obviously because I'm preaching. I got hold of the book, Pete Gregg book. And I like the fact it says here, A Simple Guide for Normal People. Now, I'm a little bit normal, but hopefully we're all somewhat normal here. Like, it's a great book. This is a book worth reading. If you don't like buying paper books or hard copy books, there's bits online you can read. Just Google it. But some really practical things on how to pray. And last week I led the prayer meeting out the back there. It was great. We had 17 there last week. Thank you so much for turning up and just practicing the prayer sort of habits we're trying to get into as a church and what we're trying to do there. Major Ann led this morning. I popped in for a minute. It went great, didn't it, Major Ann? Was everyone well behaved? Sort of. But I encourage you, if you can, 9 o'clock in the morning, if you can get here early, or it doesn't matter if you're 10 or 15 minutes late and you want to come and be part of the prayer meeting out the back there, try and, I suppose, this is the 8 weeks to play around with your prayer life and just experiment. If you've never tried to pray, have a go at it now. If you want to try a few different ways of praying, this will help you explore that. Pete Gregg has some great things. He says this, the best bit of advice I've received about how to pray was this: keep it up, keep it simple, keep it real. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. Surely we can do this. We don't have to, JB said last week, we don't have to be fancy with our words. It says in Scripture, we don't have to stand on corners and do all these fancy words to pray to God. Just be real. And it's okay to get a bit grumpy with God, isn't it? JB reminded us again last week. Sometimes life isn't great. Sometimes we've got struggles. Sometimes we've got real things going on and we don't think life's fair. It's okay to express all that to God. But let's continue to have this conversation with God and explore our prayer lives. He says in this book too, many people struggle with prayer simply because they doubt that God likes them. Isn't that fascinating? Many people struggle with prayer simply because they doubt that God likes them. So I want to assure you this morning, no matter the mistakes you've made, we've all made mistakes, no matter your past, your background, it doesn't matter. God loves us each unconditionally. Be assured of that. And as you know that love, he hears our prayers, doesn't he? He wants what's best for us. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. He believes the best for us. He loves us each. Be assured of that. Obviously, over my 20-something years now of officership, I've had many experiences with prayer, and I have no doubt that God answers prayer. And things I could never see happening have happened because I believe God's intervened and God's been involved. But I'm always surprised by how much everyone loves prayer, even if they're on the atheist scale of life or they're not sure how much they believe, everyone is open to prayer. Just a few years ago in public relations where I was working, you get to meet a lot of rich, very rich and wealthy, significant people. I was in the city. I had to visit a Jewish lawyer, and I was suggested to me that I look up names. Commissioner James Condon was my mentor in public relations, and he he said a few things to me, and he said, you know, make sure you obviously research and find out as much as you can about someone before you go visit them. And the other thing is to always offer to pray at the end of every single meeting, business meetings, financial meetings, whatever meeting you do, just offer to pray. So I went to these, I used to like doing this, all these fancy offices, you know, you put your uniform on and you could turn up anywhere and go to these beautiful buildings in the middle of the city. You know those ones you sort of just look up at? Well, I got to go to lots of the top floors of them. And you're looking over the Harbour Bridge and the Opera House. And I met this Jewish lawyer. But I did Google him on the way in and found out that he was selling his little residence in Vaucluse for $68 million. So I'm just not sure if it's a neighbour of anyone here at all. No. But literally $68 million was a record for the year, obviously, for house sales. And so it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, he's just a person, like I'm just a person. We're normal people. And it's amazing how, because I saw that figure and how much wealth this man had, that impacted my view of him. But I went into this office, we had the meeting, he was going to give some of his shekels to the Salvation Army. Not probably what we'd say a lot of money when you're talking 68 million, but significant donations, and very lovely, gracious man. And at the end of the meeting, I said to him, would you like me to pray with you? And he said, yes, Major, that would be wonderful if you could pray with me. And he said, what do I do? He goes, do I kneel? Do I bow my head? How do I pray? And it was like I was, you know, teaching junior soldiers again about, you know, just bow your head. I'm going to say some words. And is there anything you'd like prayer for? And he said, he talked about his son. He wanted prayer for his son. It was causing him a lot of stress. And it just reminded me again, isn't it, that prayer is this great evener in the world. It's something we can all respond to. We can all ask for prayer. The rates are like over 90% of the average Australian believes in prayer. You know, it's incredible that no matter who sits in church and who doesn't sit in church, people believe in prayer. It's this amazing gift we have to talk to God. And I think when you give up on everything, you know, try praying, which is sort of wrong because we should pray first, but it's nearly like it's our last resort, not our first resort. So please take these next few weeks just to acknowledge prayer and try prayer in a different way. There is no right way to pray, but just to be real. And this model we're using that Pete Gregg suggests in his book, the P-R-A-Y, pause, rejoice, ask and yield. Pause, rejoice, ask and yield. And it's based on the Lord's Prayer as we heard last week. Pause, rejoice, ask and yield. And last week we looked a bit about pause, that we need to sort of stop our lives to pray. What I, at the moment, I'm praying in the mornings while I walk, and I do this P-R-A-Y thing, and it's new to me too, but I'm playing around with it, and it's really helpful. P-R-A-Y has been good for me. I think JB mentioned last week as well that if my normal way of praying sort of A-A-A-A, I sort of just have this list of fix this, do this, Lord, help me with this one. But I tend to ask for lots of things, but this idea of using these letters, pause, rejoice, ask and yield, is a good model to get into. And so we're today at the rejoice, the second letter, and we're looking particularly at adoration. Thanks, Cameron, for the Bible reading this morning. It is the only psalm, Psalm 8 is the only psalm spoken entirely to God, a psalm of adoration. It says that we're made in the image of God and that he values and loves us. And remember that a lot of people don't pray because they don't believe God loves them. But God loves us and values us. O Lord, how majestic is your name. basically the psalm not only acknowledges the enormity of God, how majestic is your name, and it is covered and made the whole earth, but also that he values each of us as individuals and loves us each as individuals. And be assured of that. So when I look at this, the theme of this morning, this adoration theme, and he has a whole chapter in the book, Pete Gregg, about adoration, I had to just look up the definition: to adore, to like something or someone very much. To like something or someone very much. And so I started to think of my own life. What do I adore? So I started with a few simple things. Let me put a couple up on the screen for you. This one here. I adore coffee. You know, this is, you know, my wife's a tea drinker. I'm a coffee drinker. But I love my coffee. I start every day with coffee and I allow myself to have a second one as long as it's before 4 p.m. I sort of have all these strange little rules and rituals in my life, but that's how I roll. But you see in the background, this is sort of thing that's happened the last 4 years. That's called Milk Lab Almond Milk. Has anyone experienced this Milk Lab Almond Milk? Very good. There's three people saved in the room. Well done, guys. But I now, this is, you know how they talk about coffee snobs? I'm one of them. When I go to coffee places, you know how they put all the milks out the front? I don't know if you see that, but if you're into milks, then you start to do this. And I got so when I'm at food courts or wherever I am walking through the city, I look for this Milk Lab almond milk. But I adore really good coffee. Let's move on. I adore good food. So, you know, I grew up on sort of probably a lot of us, you know, sausages and three veg. I think it was the most fancy meat we could. I was an officer's kid, so we couldn't afford much more than that. But I love steak. I do love steak. And I love vegetables still. So I, you know, love good food. And I'm sure a lot of us do. What else do I adore? Well, I'm a bit of a sporting fanatic. There are four teams I follow. Now, I have a thing called KO, which is a sporting subscription. And I can spend hours and hours just watching live sport. They're the four teams you should get on board. If you're looking for teams, come and see me afterwards and I'll fix you up with some memberships. It's called the West Coast Eagles, the Perth Wildcats, a basketball team. Scorchers is Big Bash. And, of course, the Melbourne Storm, this year's premiers. We're looking forward to them winning again this year. So they're the four teams, but I adore sport. So I'm sure you all have things in your life that you adore. But it should be deeper than just things, shouldn't it? Just food and coffee and so on. And so make sure you let her know this. But on the next screen, so this is a fresh photo this week. A few people have asked me about why Kylie hasn't been on social media. Well, I found out at ICO, it's International College for Officers, for those who don't know, my wife is in London at the moment and they're not allowed to use social media. So she's not ignoring you all. But obviously they go on day trips and this is just five random officers from around the world that she's hanging out with for 6 weeks. And what they often do is get the lady officers in front of the Catherine Booth statue. Has anyone been to the Catherine Booth statue in London? I've never been. Yeah, a few people. Yeah, so it's quite a thing. And so anyway, I adore my wife. I adore Kylie. Can you let her know that in case you see her before I do? But this idea of adoration, what do we adore in our life? What's important to us as our relationship with God or God himself? Do we really adore God that much? Do I adore God as much as I do the Melbourne Storm or my beautiful coffee that I like to drink in the mornings? I need to put that in perspective, don't I? To put the Lord, our God, first in our lives and acknowledge him. The Lord's Prayer starts with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And this is the idea of acknowledging who God is and starting our prayer, putting God first and foremost in our life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means to be made holy, consecrated. And Jesus teaches his disciples to pray with this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's like a welcome in the morning, a welcome to God. When my 18-year-old son Josiah comes down the stairs in the morning, he doesn't just go, can you get me 2 pieces of toast, 4 eggs, slices of bacon, hot chocolate? That's what he has for breakfast every morning. No, he says, good morning, Dad. I say, good morning, Josiah. That we welcome each other. You know, he's 18. He's not always, you know, highly coherent at early in the morning, but we get there eventually and we have this conversation. But we acknowledge each other in the morning before we start asking for things. And that's what we have to do in our prayer life too. Begin our day acknowledging God and who he is. The Salvation Army has a few traditions around this about putting God first, acknowledging God. And I am a bit of a history buff with the Salvation Army, and I always look at the foundation stones of buildings. And it's fascinating. We have a few down the bottom there that on every foundation stone in the Salvation Army, 132 countries, thousands and thousands of buildings. They have to put, it's part of Salvation Army legislation, the building was opened to the glory of God and the salvation of the people, to the glory of God. God has to be first in every single one of our buildings. And we have amazing buildings all over the world, but put the glory of God. You go around to every cathedral. This isn't just a Salvation Army thing. Cathedrals, churches, to the glory of God. It comes from Nehemiah, but it's on every single church building nearly around the world. If you drop in even the bridal shop down the road here that used to be a church, to the glory of God. And it's about putting God first in our lives. And this idea of the Lord's Prayer, honouring God through the construction of a beautiful building, but putting God first and centre place in our lives. The holiness table here, every Salvation Army building has a holiness table, and it's to be placed in the centre. And holiness unto the Lord is often written on the holiness table. And it's again about having God at the centre of our lives and the centre of our buildings, and that God will be acknowledged. So we need to start our prayer lives with this, and we need to acknowledge and adore God. Pete Gregg goes on to give us a few little hints about how we do this better. And he has 6 points. Awaking my soul, he calls it. Start to thank God for who he is and his love. He said, even if you're struggling to pray, just sort of wake yourself up and say, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for your family or your friends. He then says about praying a psalm, and there's lots of psalms we can pray. Like the psalm this morning, O Lord, how majestic is your name. These are ways that we can adore God that can help us get in that right frame. Number 3, worshipping with Bach, Beyonce and Bethel. I'm not sure who Beyonce is, some random singer of some sort. But what he's basically saying, and he writes a really good couple of pages on this, he says it doesn't matter what the music is. And I think it's a good message to us in this church. It doesn't matter what the music is. It doesn't matter if it's brass or guitars or harps or violins. It doesn't matter. It's about our heart and our connection with God. And he talks about all different sorts of music that takes him to different places to connect and worship with God and to adore God. And, you know, whatever the music that helps you get closer to God, just go with that. There's no right or wrong answers here. I do listen to Hope, no judgment here, Hope 102.3. I occasionally put that on the radio and it helps me to connect with God. There's this funny app, if you're into brass bands and songsters and all those sorts of things, called Salvationist Radio. And it's a little app you can get on your phone and it's 24/7 worship music, but a lot of it's Salvation Army music. I introduced my dad to that, and quite often when I speak to him in the morning, he goes, oh, I wake up at 3 a.m. and I had Salvationist Radio on. And so he listens to this Salvationist Radio internet app often right through the night while he sleeps. And it has all this worship music on, sometimes Songs Brigade, sometimes brass bands. But it doesn't matter what that music is. But music is such a helpful tool to adore God. Number four, he says, worshipping with others, which we're doing here today. And he made this great point that in the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father, our daily bread. It doesn't say my Father. It doesn't say my daily bread, does it? It's our. It's about the collective. It's about worshipping with others, about doing it in community, about adoring God together. And so it's important that we keep others in our lives. We're becoming more and more an individualistic society. No doubt about that. We have the highest number now of single-person residences in Australia than we've ever had. And I know a lot of us here live by ourselves. It's getting more and more common. We've had to help people. You can imagine in the Salvation Army, we help a lot of people. One of the people I got to help a few years ago now, they hadn't had connection or been out of their house literally for like 6 months, which I know sounds ridiculous. But they said, I can get food delivered to my house. I can get groceries delivered to my house. I've got my own, you know, thing called Netflix. I can watch my own movies in my house. Why do I need to leave my house? I can do everything at home. Like, the world has changed enormously. With the internet, we can do everything. We can get telehealth on the phone. I've done that a few times myself. You don't have to line up at the doctors anymore. We can just stay home and do life by ourselves. But God wants us to do things like this, to gather in community, the hour, our Lord's Prayer, our daily bread. Let people into your life. I encourage you to do that. It sometimes gets a bit messy. Not all of us are perfect. Some of the people we let into our lives mess us up a bit and challenge us too much, or we get annoyed with them. But isn't it great to have others in our lives? And I encourage you to do that. Number five, he says, liturgy, the shape and shaping of our prayers. Sometimes written prayers can be very helpful. I know JB's into this and I've seen it already. He likes to use more structured prayers and things we read together as a community. And Pete Gregg says this can be so helpful. And quite often he says he goes to sort of more monastic places and older churches that are very structured and the liturgy is very formal. And some of you may think it's quite formal here. Well, this is nothing. If you go to some other churches and everything happens and you read every song and every scripture and every prayer and there's nothing that's sort of interpreted or taken outside of the text. But again, there's no way, right way to worship God or to gather. And I encourage you to do this. I mentioned last year in October I went to New Norcia in Western Australia to St. Benedict, the Benedictine monks, and we spent 5 days there, our chaplaincy team from around Australia. So we spent 5 days and every day I had to pray 7 times. Reading. They went for about 15, 20 minutes every time, 5 in the morning till 9 at night or whatever it was. And there was this incredible rituals and timetable to praying. and reading scriptures. And I sort of detested it after day one. Day two, I started to recalibrate. Day three, I was slightly enjoying it. By day five, I thought, actually, this is more powerful than I thought. And Father Steve, who is there, I told some of you this, he's been there for 71 years doing this seven times a day. And I thought, I got through 5 days, 71 years. He was the oldest monk in that facility there when he was 18. And so we can learn so much by our spiritual fathers and Christian heritage. But every denomination, I really believe, can teach us something. There's something in every tradition that's worth exploring. And I encourage you to do that. And then last, he just says, worshipping with our own weirdness. And this is fascinating. He has a few funny stories in the book, if you want to read them. But again, he just says, be who you are. God's created us all uniquely. You know, if you like playing a trombone and that's your way of worshipping God, play a trombone. If you like to play a timbrel or, you know, you want to paint, as we had the other week here, how good was that with the painting during worship? If you want to dance, maybe not this morning, but if you want to dance, you know, worship God through your dancing. But whatever connects you with God, he talks about, you know, exercising and bushwalking and experimenting with nature. All these sorts of things can help people get closer to God. So you do what you need to do, but embrace your weirdness. And God's okay with that. So he finishes with this definition. The invitation to adoration means greeting our Heavenly Father by name, meeting his smile with a smile, receiving him as the one, as the loved one he truly is, responding to his kindness with kindness, his presence with presence, and his love with our own. Can we read that together? It's really important. The invitation to adoration means greeting our Heavenly Father by name, meeting his smile with a smile, receiving him as the loved one he truly is, responding to his kindness with kindness, his presence with presence, and his love with our own. So I encourage you to continue to embrace this season of prayer and connect with God. And the story of prayer in my life is when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. When I pray, coincidences happen. It's a hard word to say. But I believe it. And I could tell you many stories, but I'm just going to leave you with one before we adore God this morning. And that is when Kylie and I went into ministry. This is back in 2000. This is a long time ago. And you know, I was heading up a music department and I was asked to be the youth pastor at a church, Salvation Army Church in Melbourne. And I really felt God was calling me into full-time ministry. And my biggest problem was the money. And it shouldn't have been about the money, but it was, because we had a mortgage and I couldn't quite make the dollars work. But I really believed God was going to look after us. And so I took, as you can imagine, a significant pay cut to go work full-time for the Salvation Army. And within like 2 weeks of me sort of stepping out in faith and taking this position, Kylie was offered a job by my cousin. And it was nearly to the cent, you know, the $15,000 that I'd lost. She'd been given this job that was like $15,000 more. And it was the most amazing thing for me. Like, you know, I sort of spoke or half believed in prayer, and I was praying. I didn't know how this was going to work, but I just believed, and I had no idea what was going to happen. And out of the blue, you know, that prayer this morning someone prayed about looking after us, the providences of God that he provides, he looks after us. And I just want to say to you each this morning, I know there's a lot of stuff going on in this room, but I probably only know that much of what's going on. There's relationships, there's health, there's financial things here. I want to encourage you that if you haven't tried prayer before, give it a go. You've got nothing to lose. You have absolutely nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. This morning, while we sing this song, I encourage you to pray.